Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Moise, o tu e bembere,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. We are praying that He comes down and helps us and goes ahead of us. The Bible says, those who are led by the Spirit of the living God are His sons. Spirit of the living God, we call upon you. Come and help us. Come and go ahead of us. Come and go ahead of us. Come and lead us, Spirit of the living God. We are ready. We are yielded. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we pray. Amen and amen. Somebody give Him a shout of praise. And those of you who are standing, you can take your seats in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That name, that rather, that song in my vernacular means, you know, Holy Spirit, come and help us. Come and lead us today. Come down and lead us today. It's like an anthem. That song is like an anthem in Western Uganda. And I love it so much. Love it so much. So let's prepare to get into the word of the Lord. Are you ready? Father, as we gather around your table this afternoon, we pray that King of Kings, your name shall be exalted. Your word will be exalted. Speak to us in the name of Jesus. Deliver us in the name above every other name. King of Kings, we are yielded and we are praying that you have your way unhindered. Father, I'm getting out of your way that you may have your way, Lord. Let me speak your word unapologetically in the name of Jesus. Come against the spirit of distortion, the spirit of deletion, and the spirit of generalization. I break you in the name of Jesus. We shall hear the word as it comes through to us in the name of Jesus. All the filters, we break them in the name above every other name, that the word of God may come and infiltrate our hearts in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Somebody give a clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's nice to see you. Yeah, nice, my friend. Nice to see you. Thank you so much for coming. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him a welcome. Hallelujah. We love you. We love you. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. In the Hebrew, it was an annual event. You know, Pentecost did not happen when the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit happened to come on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Pentecost was an annual harvest festival that occurred 7 weeks after the Passover. Hallelujah. We have got something in the something that's shorting in our speakers, so just ignore that and listen to me. Hallelujah. So it became an important Christian holiday only after the Holy Spirit was poured on the disciples. Hallelujah. And that's why today we celebrate that day, because it commemorates the coming of God, the Holy Spirit, upon every man. Every man can access Him in the name above every other name. Hallelujah. Today I want to speak under a subject I've called unity of purpose. Unity of purpose. You know, Jesus Christ has spoken about and promised the Holy Spirit. And He said He would ask His Father to send the Holy Spirit upon His children. He says, if you love me, if you follow my words, I am going to ask the Father, and He will do what? He will send you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And last Friday, for those of you online, we looked at Luke chapter 24, verse 49, where Jesus Christ, after He has resurrected from the death, is still talking to His disciples and reminding them about the promise. And He says in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, He says, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Upon you. Hallelujah. But then He says, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This happening had already been prophesied by Prophet Joel about the pouring of the Holy Spirit. The pouring of the Holy Spirit. He says in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, he says, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. That day when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples had been prophesied by Joel. He said, it shall come to pass that I, the Lord, will do what? Will pour. Pour. Somebody who pours is somebody, you know, who is not worried of the source. You know, we've got some of you here have got are wearing serious perfumes, serious colognes here. Very expensive colognes. So when you are applying that cologne, you don't just waste it. There's a way you press that little thing, just a little bit, sparingly, because you don't want the bottle to finish quickly. But someone who pours is someone who is confident of the source. Hallelujah. He says, I will pour my spirit, not on some flesh, but on all flesh. The Holy Spirit is not only for pastors. The Holy Spirit is not only for bishops. The Holy Spirit is for all flesh. Hallelujah. It says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Why? Because of the pouring of the Holy, because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The old men, thank God for the Holy Spirit, because we old men do not retire. We do not retire because we have the Holy Spirit. As long as you have the Holy Spirit, I don't care how old you are still functional in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. He said, the old man shall see dreams. That applies to the old women as well. But then even the younger ones shall see visions. My goodness, doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you have the Holy Spirit upon you, you will function in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now we transition into Luke, into the book of Acts rather. As Dr. Luke opens that portion of scripture in Acts chapter 1, he begins to remind his audience, especially his chief audience, Theophilus, of what he had already written in the gospel according to Luke. He says, I have written about these things, about the things that Jesus Christ began to do and to teach. Meaning that the book of Acts is a continuation of what Jesus Christ is doing and teaching. Even after resurrection, he is still doing. Even after resurrection, he is still teaching. Hallelujah. Death could not take him out. Even after resurrection, he is still doing. He is still speaking. Then he begins to remind them and says, and that Jesus Christ gave commands to his disciples. In verse 2, he gave commands to his disciples through the Holy Spirit. Through the what? Through the Holy Spirit. Jesus speaks to his disciples and he is aided by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit is a very important person. The Holy Spirit is not just wind. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. We have got God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We're just singing that song, Ruhangishi, Ruhango Mwana, Ruhango Moyorkwera. In whatever language you have, that's how you translate the Trinity. That shows that the Trinity works as a team. God the Father sends the Son, and the Son, as he's speaking, the Holy Spirit is at work as well. Do you understand that? John 5:19 says, Jesus says, I can do nothing until I see the Father doing it. Whatever Jesus did, whatever he said, was after he had heard or seen the Father do it. And whatever he was saying, the Holy Spirit was also, you know what, at work. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit accompanied the instructions. It accompanied the command that Jesus Christ was teaching, so that the disciples or his hearers may understand what he is communicating. And Jesus Christ gives us about three functions of the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, what will he do? He will teach you all things. He's a teacher. Right now, as I speak, I'm speaking because of the Holy Spirit. He's teaching all of us right now, you at home. And he also said that he will bring to remembrance the things that I have said. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the word of God. But more importantly, he said he will be your helper. Your parakletos. He will be your helper. Hallelujah. The primary reason why the Holy Spirit is poured upon us is to enable us, is to clothe us with the power of God. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. He helps us in our Christian walk. He helps us in the service to God, in the mission of God. We cannot do the mission of God without the Holy Spirit. You need him. I need him. Because we are here to promote his kingdom, not our kingdom. Hallelujah. I am not here building my kingdom. I am building his kingdom. As a matter of fact, he's the one building. I'm just advancing his kingdom. You understand what I'm saying there? The kingdom of God is not a political or military kingdom. It's not an earthly kingdom. It's not part. It's not just our economic ecosystem. It is more than that. It is the present spiritually directed reign of God. Right now, he is reigning. And he will reign tomorrow and the day after until he folds the earth. You understand? The kingdom of God is that power that transforms individuals and entire communities. Individuals. A person like me who was once a drug addict. A person like me who was once an alcoholic. I stand here today behind a microphone addressing you and teaching you the word of God just because of the kingdom of God. The kingdom that transforms, that transformative power is what we are talking about. Hallelujah. The power that transforms a write-off. All that is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. My friends, it's all about the bigger picture. It's about the restoration of the kingdom of God, the mission of God. God is on a mission of restoring his creation. You are his creation. That drunkard that you passed by is his creation. Those prostitutes in brothels are his creation. Hallelujah. And we are here charged with the responsibility of advancing that kingdom so that they too may be touched and be turned into other people. Hallelujah. Turned into the image of God. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came for the bigger picture. And he wants you and I to look at the bigger picture. Hallelujah. Pentecost is about the bigger picture. That is the mandate that he was living for. That's the mandate that he was living with his disciples and all of us who follow him. You understand that? That was the reason that his central theme, the central theme of Jesus' teaching was about the kingdom of God. He would say the kingdom of God is like a man who left to a far country. He would say many instances talk about the kingdom of God. That was his central message. Hallelujah. And his goal was to help his disciples set their focus on this kingdom, on the bigger picture. That's why we are born again, so that we can set our eyes on the bigger picture, the kingdom. It's not about them. It was not about you. Brother, it's not about you. It was not about them. It was about God's interests, his mission. That is why he kept teaching them to focus on the major thing. On the major thing. And in Matthew chapter 6, we see him asking them not to focus on the mundane. You know, wondering what they will eat. Says, do not worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Do not worry what you shall eat or what you shall drink. And those are the things that divert us from the bigger picture. As Christians, we find ourselves worrying about these very same things that people who do not know Christ are worrying about. That's what he says. He says, listen, don't worry what you will eat. Don't worry what you will drink. He says, haven't you seen the birds of the air? He says, your father feeds them. They do not bank, they don't have gardens, they don't have bank accounts, but he feeds them somehow. Listen, as long as you are alive, I have got faith that God will feed you. Amen. As long as you are alive, I have got faith that God will clothe you. Somehow, I don't know, but you will never go naked in the name of Jesus. Do you understand that? He's telling them, why are you focusing on the now, on the minor, on the bread and the raiment for today? He says, don't worry. This is for somebody out there. Don't, or somebody may be here. Do not worry. Somebody, you're too worried about stuff. You are overworked out. You will lose your mind if you worry too much. Some of us take it to another level. When we are professional warriors, we are resigning from that portfolio today. You worry about your health. You worry about things that are not even going to happen. God feeds the birds of the air, and he dresses the lilies. He takes care of those minor things, and he also takes care of the major things. So God, Jesus Christ, was telling his disciples, focus on the major. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But first, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Your priorities. Arrange them. Rearrange your priorities. First, seek the kingdom of God. The bigger picture. If you focus on the bigger picture, the minor things will take care of themselves. That's what he was trying to communicate. Do you understand what he's saying? But first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says that all these other things, the minor things, what will they do? They will add themselves to you. Hallelujah. So what's happening today? Because we are worried too much and we are focused on the minor, we are putting the cart ahead of the horse. We are chasing the things that are meant to be chasing us. Hallelujah. And this is what he says in verse 34, Matthew 6. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Is anybody here worried about tomorrow? You don't have to worry about tomorrow. I never worry about tomorrow. Because the only day that I have is today, by the way. I don't know about tomorrow. I'm not sure about tomorrow. Does that mean I don't have hope? I have hope. Does that mean I don't dream? I dream. But I am not overworked about tomorrow. Because I have read this verse and I have internalized it. It says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Why? For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let it worry about itself. It says, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You have got a lot to deal with today. You haven't even dealt with the issues of today. You're already jumping on tomorrow. That's why you overworked. That's why you are tired. You go to bed and sleep and wake up completely, even more tired than you went to bed. Because even in sleep, you were dreaming about trouble. You are dreaming about tomorrow, worried about tomorrow. Even in sleep, you are worried. That's why I tell you here that for my sleep, I will snore. You know why? Because I know that as long as I am still breathing, God will somehow take care of me. He will do it. I have hope. I have faith. Hallelujah. So even after the resurrection, Jesus Christ takes back his disciples to the bigger picture, the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says that he showed himself alive after his passion, after the suffering and the death and resurrection, with infallible proofs, being seen by the disciples for 40 days. And as he was being, you know, as he was showing himself to his disciples, what was he doing? He was speaking. Let's have the King James Version, the KJV. KJV. He says he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He's saying back to the mission of God, back to the mission of the kingdom. Focus on the things pertaining to the kingdom. He's telling his disciples, I know you are still in shock. I know you are still in fear after my death, after my cruel death. But get snap out of that and come back to the bigger picture. He is saying to them, away from your interests. He said, there's work to do. There's work to do pertaining to the kingdom. And the work of the kingdom cannot be done in the flesh. That's why we needed the Holy Spirit. That's why he told them, stay in Jerusalem. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Because the mission that I am giving you, you cannot do it in your own effort. Acts 1:4. He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. They needed to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In verse 5, he says, For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. That word baptized means immersed, covered in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. John baptizes with fire, with water, but Jesus Christ will come with fire and the Holy Spirit. Indeed, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John speaks about himself. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and with fire. But even then, the disciples do not get it. They are still locked in this mundane. They are locked in the smaller picture. After all that, listen to what they say. This is what they say in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Can you imagine? He is speaking about kingdom. He's speaking about big things. See, some of us are incapable of seeing big things. You are locked in the small things. You will never accomplish a lot. You'll never accomplish much if your mindset is locked in small things. Jesus Christ is talking about taking over the nations, but these guys are still locked into something. In verse 6, what do they say? And so when they had come together, after he has spoken all that, things pertaining to the kingdom, listen what they're asking. They asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Can you imagine? Do you see where their mind is? Their minds are set on things pertaining to men. And Jesus Christ has already encountered this when, before his death, he speaks about his, you know, going into Jerusalem and being crucified and all that. And Peter stands before him and says, you cannot do that. You are not going to die. Do you know why? Because these guys left their stuff. They left their fishing. They left, you know, some people left their jobs. Matthew was a tax collector. He used to work in his majesty's service, revenue service. He left that job. And they are following this man, hoping that he's going to take over the kingdom of over the Romans and restore the kingdom of Israel. So they knew that they were in for big jobs, you know. They were in for big jobs. And this man is here talking about dying. Come on, what's wrong with you? We left our stuff and you're here talking about dying. That's why Peter takes him aside and says, "This it shall never happen. Stop talking about dying. You're here, shut up." Jesus, you know what Jesus did? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 23, he turned to Peter, and addressed him as Satan. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? He says, you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Hallelujah. The problem with us is we have set our minds on the things of men. That's why we are not advancing the kingdom of God. Isaac, we need to arise and think about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Kingdom. Somebody say kingdom. Now say it like you had breakfast. Kingdom. Yeah. What is Jesus Christ trying to tell them? Focus on the bigger things. Jesus tells them, guys, you are focusing on the minor. I came to restore a greater kingdom than the kingdom of Israel. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God. The disciples are still stuck in the small picture mode. They are stuck in the now and here. They thought that he was back to restore the kingdom of Israel. They thought that he had come to triumph over Rome. What is your Rome? What is your Rome? Every one of us here has got a Rome. A Rome that is subjugating you. A Rome that you feel that is tying you in, is binding you in. You are not free to do whatever you want to do because of the Rome. And you are saying, Lord, he's saying, I want to send you to the nations. And you are saying, my Father, why don't you first deal with this Rome here, your little Rome? Your little room may be your marriage, your little room may be your debts around you, your little room may be whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about. You're focusing on the room, and God is talking about bigger things. Your room is important, yes, but it's not more important than the kingdom of God. Don't get diverted by small picture mode so that you miss the bigger one. Focus on the kingdom as you pursue the kingdom of God. As you pursue and advance the kingdom of God, guess what? He will take care of your Rome. Hallelujah. Your Rome will fall. Jesus Christ responds to them in Acts chapter 1 verse 7. He says, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has fixed by his authority. That's not what you should be focusing on. Rather, what you need is power. For where you are going, you need power. Hallelujah. Power not to triumph over the Romans, but to pursue a higher mission. Hallelujah. Power to proclaim my kingdom. Power to proclaim my reign. Power to proclaim repentance and forgiveness. And in verse 8, it says, but you will do what? You will receive power. You will not work for it. It's going to come as a gift. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This mission did not require human weaponry. What God has set for you to accomplish is not going to be accomplished by your intellect. It requires power from above, that you be clothed with the power, that you may be empowered, that you may be equipped with the power. The Greek word for power is dunamis. Hallelujah. Dunamis means the inherent power of God, that which enables and emboldens a person to do the miraculous and marvelous works in our physical world. I told those people who attended on Friday that we derive the word dynamo from dunamis. Anybody ever seen a dynamo? I'm here. You know a dynamo. You never use the dynamo on bicycles. You remember that? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. A dynamo is a device or a machine that converts mechanical energy into electrical energy. Hallelujah. There is a transformation of energy. Another meaning of a dynamo, you can use the word dynamo to talk about a person who is forceful and energetic, always busy and active. That person is called a dynamo. Some of you have got them in your houses. Dunamis, or a dynamo, is power that transforms an ordinary man into an extraordinary man. Hallelujah. So that an ordinary man can begin to do extraordinary things. You understand? There was a man, a preacher, called Meyer. He had a firewood factory and he employed many prisoners. So he would give them good wages, good food, place to live. And where possible, he would give them encouragement from the word of God. And in exchange, he expected them to render good service, good employment. But they did not do what he expected, and he lost money. And because he was losing money, he finally fired all of them. Fired all of them. What did he do? He went and purchased a circular saw that is powered by gas. Gas. It had an engine. You know those saws. So, in 1 hour, after employing it, it turned out that, you know, he produced or he cut down more trees than, you know, the whole of these guys, all these guys combined would do in 1 day. And then this man was shocked. So he had a little conversation with this machine. He said, hey, how can you turn out so much work? Are you sharper than the swords of my men were using? Is your blade shiner? No. What then? Now, if this soul could speak, this is what it would have answered to him. It would have said, I think there is a stronger driving power behind me. Something is working through me with a new force. It's not I. It's the power behind. Every man of God, every woman of God, all of us are women of God, by the way. Every child of God needs the power of God to work within them. You need to be linked by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. You need to be dynamic for the Lord. Somebody once said, you know, the early churches, we all know that they did not have buildings that we have. They had minimal, you know, organization in them. But they were infused with the Holy Spirit. That's why we stand here to speak about this gospel. Because these men were powerful. They went around preaching the word of God. And somebody once said, you know, today, if suddenly the Holy Spirit was taken out of the world, 95% of what the church is doing would continue. Think about that. Meaning that most of the things that we do are not powered by the Holy Spirit. So if we can zero in on the 5% and be infused with the Holy Spirit, guess what? We can move mountains. Hallelujah. With our numbers, with the wealth we have today, with the means of communication. You know, right now I am here, but some people in Africa are watching me. Right now, that's the power of communication. We can accomplish much more than Paul. We can move the nations. And after these sayings, guess what? Jesus Christ went to heaven. He ascended and he left the ball in the court of his disciples. He says, I have told you, you need power. But go in the city and wait for that power until I send it. He says, go and wait. Do you know why he asked them to wait? He asked them to wait until they come to a place where they are one. Where they are at one with one another. Where they are united in purpose. Because everyone was worried at his own corner. So he wanted them to be in one room like we are here. Look, listen, I don't know how many people we are here right now and those online. I'm speaking a message, but guess what? There are about 40 messages being received here. Every one of us is receiving the message in his own way, depending on the filters that are in his head. Many purposes here. So this is how they are. God was not going to use them until they had singleness of purpose. So he waited for them to be in one place where they are in one, they become united. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. With one accord in one place. They were in one accord in one place. Anybody ever seen an accordion? When I talk about an accordion, the young people will say, a what? An accordion. An accordion is a musical instrument. You know, I don't know how it works on pressure and whatever. You just pull it and it, you know, it makes very, very, very beautiful sounds out of it. According means in harmony. Until we are in harmony, child of God, God cannot use us. The Holy Spirit will not come upon us. He says he came upon them as a rushing mighty wind and filled the house in which they were standing, and they appeared to them tongues as fire. They were baptized by fire. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, filled them. Why? Because they were in one place and they had the unity of purpose. The purpose to accomplish God's mission. The Holy Spirit will come upon us once we are of one purpose to advance his kingdom. There is power in unity. There is power in unity. When the people come together, there is power. That's why the devil knows it. He will disorganize you to make sure there is no unity. There are siblings here who have not even talked to their mother or their siblings in ages here. You know why? Because he knows that once you are together, you're going to accomplish a lot. Some of us haven't even spoken to our mothers or dads, those of us who have them. Because there's friction. The enemy will always bring a wedge between people. Because he knows the more we are together with one purpose, we'll accomplish a lot. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? Anybody remembers that? In Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, these men gathered together and they began to build a tower. The Bible says, they said, let us build a city for ourselves, a tower for ourselves. And the more they were together, they built, they spoke the same language. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, and God looked at these guys and says, behold, these people are one. They are what? They are one. Does that mean that they were the same color? Does that mean that they were the same height? Does that mean that they were the same size? No. They had personal issues or personal agendas, but they were united behind one bigger goal. And that's what God wants us to do. He says they are united. They all have one language. They speak one language. And says this that they have begun to do, and now, if we do not restrain them, they will come up to us. So he came and disorganized them. So he disorganized the language. That's why we get most of these languages. As I was singing here, some of you were saying, what is he singing? Before, when he said, before the disorganization, before when they were together and speaking the same language, when somebody would say, give me, oh, come on, get me a wheelbarrow, they would bring a wheelbarrow. But when there was disunity, when he says wheelbarrow, somebody brings a hoe, doesn't understand what you are saying. That's why, you know, even as I said, I'm preaching a message right here, but we are receiving it in different angles. You want to date Rome Smart? He brings the hammer. That is disunity. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He disorganizes a church. When a pastor, as I preach right now, I will go back to that. You begin to decipher many issues, many messages that I haven't even spoken about. Can you relate to that? At your place of work, the boss says something, you hear B. Or your sister, you are with your sister on your phone, wherever she is, California or Africa, she says something and you hear something else. Because we are different. And the filters that we have are different. Based on where we are coming from, based on our backgrounds, based on our upbringing, they're different. Based on our experiences, they're different. But God wants us to come into one place. Hallelujah. To pursue a bigger picture together. Do you understand that? A higher purpose together. Hallelujah. The anointing flows when we are together. The Holy Spirit flows when we are together. Psalm 133, the Bible says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. To dwell together in unity. What is destabilizing our nations today? What is destabilizing our families today? What is destabilizing our churches today? It is disunity. There's no unity of purpose. How pleasant it is for brethren, You are my sister. I am your brother. I have your best interests at heart. I love you with the love of Christ. Hallelujah. I am your brother. Let us see things together. Let us do things together. Unity. He says it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard of Aaron and went down the skirts of his garments. Can you imagine that? Unity of purpose. For the kingdom of God will attract the Holy Spirit. When we are clothed and baptized by His power, we are a force to reckon with. We become spiritual dynamos. We become emboldened to do His work. Guess what? Men who were hiding, Peter and co, they were in hiding after Jesus Christ has been crucified. They are running away from the authorities because the authorities were looking to kill them. But the moment the Holy Spirit came upon them, because they were in unity, guess what? They stepped out of their hiding and began to preach. They began to speak boldly. In one day, Peter does, someone attracted 3,000 people to the Lord. That is the power of unity. You understand that? Let us be of one mind. Let's be on one mind. What unites us, my friend, is far bigger than what divides us. I will say that again. What unites us is far bigger than what divides us. So let us not focus on the things that divide us. These are small pieces. Those are for small men. Small men. The things that divide us, if we focus on them, we will start discussing people. Did you see what she said? Did you see how she looked at me? Did you see that she didn't open the door for me? All those things. Small people discuss people. Big people discuss big ideas. Hallelujah. You don't have time for these small skirmishes. Come on. Come on, child of God. Come on. I'll grow out of them. Do you understand that? Grow out of them. Listen, it's not the absence of conflict that unites us. Rather, it's our common and bigger sense of purpose that unites us. As long as we are more than one, you will have conflict. Hallelujah. As long as you are more than one, you will have conflict. Conflict will come. But we do not rest on conflict. Marriages that break are marriages that cannot take conflict. But go to people who have been married for 50 years. They will tell you conflict upon conflict. Because they are more than one. We are thinking differently. Yes, we are. That's why it's called a marriage. You don't marry things that appear the same. That's why these days, these things that are called same marriage, same whatever, I don't understand them. You can't. That's not marriage. The word marriage, it means you bring something that's different and bring it together to something that's different. That's marriage. So that's why, for those of you who are still not yet married, if you are going to think that you're going to have a conflict-free marriage, you are in for a ride. Because you're two different. You come from two different places. You grew up, somebody grew up in China, another one grew up in Germany. You are two different, different people. So it's not the absence of conflict that keeps you together. Rather, it's the common goal, the bigger picture that keeps us together. Hallelujah. In a church like here, there will be a lot of conflict. Trust me, there will be conflict. At your place of work, there's conflict. On the trains, there's conflict. On the buses, somebody you don't even know, you conflict with them. On the roads, how many people drive here? On the roads, there's conflict as you drive. Somebody just cuts in. Conflict. That's why some people stop the cars and they take it out physically. That is immaturity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can we outgrow the smaller skirmishes? Hallelujah. And focus on the bigger picture. The bigger picture, which is bigger than my smaller issues, my smaller corners. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody? Amen. What unites us, is a bigger sense of a purpose that is bigger than us, despite our perspectives, in spite of our personalities and our personal stories. And that's the kingdom of God. The bigger picture, my friend, in most cases, is sacrificed at the altars of personal goals. We refuse to do that. Let us unite around the mission of God through Christ, so that God may baptize us with the Holy Spirit and empower us to do greater things. Because he said, greater things than I will you do. Hallelujah. Let's receive that power to proclaim his kingdom. The power to build bigger things for the Lord. Paul speaks about unity. As I conclude, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. This is Paul, great apostle. He says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility, not some, and gentleness, with patience. The thing that is killing most of us is lack of patience. I touched it last Sunday. Patience. Be patient. I'll go back to marriages. The reason people stick together for ages is because of patience. You have to be patient with the other. Without patience, if your patience is very thin, you walk out. You understand? You grew up a very organized woman. All your shoes, the way you organize them, they all look east. They all look east. Mm-hmm. In the bathroom, your toothbrush is in a certain angle. Now you get married to this guy that you have been looking at in the church at the other side of the aisle, admiring, you know. Now, after you say, I do, the man comes, you now staying together. And this man, for him, the moment he gets out of work, he just kicks the shoes wherever he wants. As you open the fridge, you'll find one shoe there. Another one is in the corner. This man, what is wrong with him? Can't he understand? Doesn't he know that shoes have got to be arranged like this? That's not in his paradigm. He comes into the bathroom and begins to attack the Colgate, whatever it is, the toothpaste. For you, you know, you grew up pressing the toothpaste from the bottom. This guy, for him, doesn't care. He just presses it in the middle. If you don't have patience with this Mr. A, you run crazy. Patience. Somebody say patience. Lord, give me patience. Say, Lord, give me patience. There's that colleague of yours at place of work who's on your nerves. You need patience. You need patience. Let me ask you a question. Why haven't you left that job? But when somebody in the church, you know, says something, you just rush out. You rush out. But why haven't you left the job? And yet there's somebody who's pestering you. It does what? It pays. It pays, yeah? You have forgotten that the one who gives you life is God. He's the one who gives you the potential to be paid. So why run away? If you don't have patience, you are going to run from one community to another. You will be a nomad. Do you know the nomads? Wanderers. We stay in places because of patience. Somebody say patience. Say it again, patience. Yeah, Paul is saying have patience with all patience, not some patience, all patience. Huh? Bearing with one another. We live together because you bear with them. You've got to bear with them. You've got to bear with me. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. The reason you are still at that job is because you are bearing with those guys. In church, this sister who will always wind you up. You've got to bear with her. If you run away from here, guess what? You go to another place, you will find somebody who is 5 times worse than her. Bear with one another. How? In love. Eager to maintain, to keep. That word maintain means to keep, to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul continues, says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree. Somebody say, agree. We have got to agree. There are some areas where we have got to agree to disagree, but still we are agreeing. Even when you disagree to agree, you are agreeing. Hallelujah. That you all what agree, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be united. How? In the same mind and the same judgment. The Message Bible says, I have a serious concern to bring with you, from my friends. Using the authority of Jesus, he says, our master, I will put it urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. It's not a possibility. It's not, you know, it's a must. It's not a choice. You must. Now look at that neighbor that is, you know, next to you and say, I must get along with you. It's me who told you to say it. I must get along with you. You see, I'm your friend and I love you. I'm just saying the word of God. He says he's speaking this according to the authority of Jesus Christ. You must get along with one another. He says you must learn. Can we have that in the message? You have the message? Is that the one? Yeah, it's the one. It says you must learn to be considerate. Did you hear that? Considerate. Be considerate, my friend. Be considerate with me. Hallelujah. At times I may preach and go beyond time. Be considerate with me. Hallelujah. At times I may come here and sing out of key. And you say, what is that guy doing even singing? Be considerate with me. Hallelujah. At times I may come and put on a shirt that does not appeal to you. Be considerate with me. Hallelujah. I learned how to be considerate recently. I did not know how to be considerate with others. But it was forced upon me. I had to learn how to be considerate with others. Hallelujah. I was locked in my own paradigm. But I had to be considerate. And I'm still learning to be considerate. Considerate with one another. Cultivating a life in common. Now, does that mean that we are all going to speak the same language? We are all from the same country? No. All with the same education level? No. But we put the minor things on the floor and we focus on the bigger things. A common goal, a common purpose. Unity of purpose is what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. We are one body, child of God. We are the body of Christ. The physical body that in which you are is in agreement, but the spiritual body is not. And yet we are going to the same heaven. How come? How do we expect the Holy Spirit to fall upon us and fill us and use us if we are divided? Look at yourself. The eye needs the foot. If you needed to be here, the feet had to bring you here. They were in agreement. I know some of you dragged yourself here, but you were here anyway. You drag yourself. Hallelujah. Each one is important. The eye is a different part. The leg is a different part. Every one of them is important. Stop despising one another. The eye is not in competition with the leg. Do you understand that? The reason some of us cannot coexist is because we are constantly under competition. I'm not competing with anybody. You know why? Because you can never be me. I'm the only Reuben ever to be here. I know there are many people with my name, but me, I'm the only one. You are the only one that is here that will ever be you. I cannot be you. So I concentrate on being me, playing my part as part of your body. Do you understand that? Working to fulfill a unified purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 14. It says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, they are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all what? We are all baptized into one body. Whether Jews, whether Greeks, whether Banyarwanda, whether Kosovans, whatever you call, we are all baptized into one spirit. And we drink from one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. And it is united. That's why you are here today. You do not leave your legs behind. You are here as a body. The reason why people disintegrate is because of self-importance, self-righteousness. They think too much of themselves in comparison to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 says, if the foot would say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it less, any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. We are together. We need to walk together. We are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. He says in Romans chapter 12, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith assigned to him. verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time.